الحمد لله منشي الخلق من عدم ثم الصلاة على المختار في القدم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم أمن تذاكر جيران بذي سلام ما زد دم عن جرى من مقلة بدم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم أم هبت الريح من تلقائك ظلمات أو مضى البرق في الظلماء من إظام مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وصلى الله على النبي الأمي. Alhamdulillah, we express gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His countless blessings upon us. You know, it is the practice of our pious seniors that whenever they start their talk, and we never ever get tired of listening to it either, but they will always express their gratitude and entice others as well to express their gratitude for the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with iman. And then they'll quote the verses, la in shakartum la azidannakum. If you express gratitude, Allah increases it. So if you then express gratitude for iman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increases our iman. See, when it comes to you and I, we are worried, mali, how this can increase. My bank statement must show a positive figure, and it mustn't just show a positive figure. When it's doubled, tripled, and it feels nice to know that we have excess funds in our bank accounts, then we express gratitude. Why? Because we want it to increase from there even more. But the people, the men of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the awliyaullah, they are focused, my iman, is it dropping? Is it increasing? If it's dropping, there is a concern. If it's increasing, but we have lost even that sense to even track, is my iman increasing or decreasing? That's how wayward we've gone. We've gone off the map of where we're supposed to be. We're not on a map. We're not following any directions. We're just going with the flow, killing time. Killing time, you say go fishing, you're killing time. Where is it ever befitting for a Muslim, for a believer, to kill time? You know the hadith. نِعْمَتَانِ مَغْبُونٌ كَثِيرٌ مِنَ النَّاسِ. That many people are deceived by these two bounties. نِعْمَتَانِ مَغْبُونٌ كَثِيرٌ مِّنَ النَّاسِ. There's two bounties where people are totally ignorant and totally deceived by. الصِّحَّة وَالْفَرَاغِ. Health and time, free time. Utilizing this free time, we say to our youth, you are active, you are moving about. Why waste your time in that which has no, absolutely is senseless, it's bought over. When you speak of soccer matches, I'll be honest and I will say here that my disinclination towards soccer and watching soccer was actually before even we got the taste and the, I will say, the taste of iman. And this we got by sitting at the feet of our kabirin, our seniors. But maybe, and inshallah we hope so, that through their barakah and through their du'as, definitely through their companionship, that you are able to break away from the evils with so much of ease. But I will say that as well, one of the factors even if you have to utilize a little bit of sense, you know all the match fixing that goes on in cricket. People will sit down for 5 days wasting time. And then when the match ends up in a draw, nobody lost, nobody won. So what is the whole, you are killing time. That's what you are doing. Soccer, 90 minutes. If I have to say to you, you've got 90 minutes left to live. 90 minutes left to live. What can you do with your time? Now you know, and I know, over the past few weeks, I was just speaking to someone yesterday. He's also, Allah grant him Shifa as well. But he was telling me, in this way, you just express what's on my particular heart. And he said, but the amount of people that are getting sick, it's unbelievable. Every corner you turn, someone's sick in some home, in some. And not just the elderly, it is the youth as well. So if I have to say to you that you've got 90 minutes left to do good actions, considering your health situation that you have now, then consider it, this is not a lie. And if you do so, and you have to, it so happens you, inshallah, live long, doing good actions, then alhamdulillah, that didn't go to waste. It's going, you're going to see all these benefits, all the rewards on the day of Qiyamah. Allah Azza wa Jal says in Surah Al-Mutaffifin, وَفِي ذَٰلِكَ, Allah says, وَفِي ذَٰلِكَ فَلْيَتَنَافَسِ الْمُتَنَافِسُونَ. It is in this, see, Allah gives the description of Jannah, إِنَّ الْأَبْرَارَ لَفِي نَعِيمٍ. Surely, the righteous, they will be in, إِنَّ الْأَبْرَارَ لَفِي نَعِيمٍ. They will be in total bliss. This will be their rewards. عَلَى الْأَرَائِكِ يَنْظُرُونَ. They will be looking, reclining, watching this beautiful scene that is in store for them. You will see their faces, تَعْرِفُ فِي وُجُوهِهِمْ نَضْرَةَ النَّعِيمِ. You will notice by their faces, you will notice the glow on their faces, نَضْرَةَ النَّعِيمِ, the freshness of bounties on their faces. The closest to understanding this in my puny little brain is this here. When a person gets married, you've witnessed it, the first 2-3 weeks, he's walking, that walk is a different walk, that talk is a different talk. Before we used to say a few months, but now we'll say first few weeks. Everything is different about him. He's flying in the air, in the sky. It's something else. You ask him, but how does it feel? Hey, something else, man. I can't put it in words for you. Don't even ask me to put it for you in words. It's some marriages. I speak to him 2 months down the line, 6 months down the line. Hey. But why? It's because of us. We have failed to understand that marriage is not just a hot bed of roses. It is also responsibilities. Yes, you're going to have those times of enjoyment. Yes, you're going to have those times of sadness. But unfortunately, we today, this generation, we have, you know, just everything instant. When they took us to the Beaver Creek coffee place there in Port Edward, so I asked the instructor a question. I said, how long does it take to plant these things? He said, nothing less than 2 years to actually just see something. I said, for me, if you're telling me this, and our generation, this is something that is not even, we're not even going to put it down as our bucket list. We'll never even think about it. We want instant. Bring us that instant stuff. Instant coffee, instant noodles, instant this. And that explains why we are facing the health situation that we are currently facing. We're not eating the pure stuff. But leave that aside. We speak to you about this. You saw and you witness happiness, sadness. This is part of life. You're going to have a good day, you're going to have a sad day, one of the two. you have to understand and accept at every juncture submission. That's what we need. But I was saying this generation, I know because that's how we are. We just want things instantly. There mustn't be, we're not exposed to difficulty. Allah reward our parents because they saw how much difficulty they went through. So they said, hey, my child, he has to have it easy. What do you, go to school, then you wish to go to university, then you realize school was much easier than university. Then you go to work, then you realize university was actually just a breeze. Then now responsibilities, baby, children, you're not trained to manage all of this. School does not teach you this. University does not teach you this. That is why those people who are living the real lives, in my opinion, are those who are living in the villages and still trying to. Although there too, you can find, we drove in villages in what places, we got lost even. And you just get scared at times, but you know your GPS is there with you. How do they get into all these places? Nonetheless, we as mu'mineen, we as believers, we have a vision. You know, the Bella Bill is now implemented. It's already enforced. Before we were speaking about it becoming into, the law. But now it's enforced. What do we do as mu'mineen, as believers? You know, and I know, if I'm running a school and I'm the principal and there's one rotten egg, I have to take out that rotten egg for being. So there's always a way as a last resort. Allah will open up ways as He did with many other instances. You know, they closed all, they proposed and tried to enforce that we close all the masajid. But there were those masajid that stayed open. Allah's fadl, Allah's fadl, Allah's fadl. Alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah. Allah's greatness that we always were there where there was a masjid open. There was always. And this is nothing new. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. Whoever fears Allah, Allah opens a way for them. So you do not fear their strategies, their plans. You fear and have taqwa. What is my Allah going to do for me? Your instruction, O parent, قُوْ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا, that save yourselves and your families, your children, from the fire. That's the instruction Allah Azza wa Jal gives to you in Surah Al-Dhariyat. You have to protect yourselves and your family from the fire. So there will always be a way out. But last resort, if they enforce it too, I'm not going to say it on air because perhaps I give away the strategy, and what is, you see, it is the war currently, the psychological warfare. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, what is war? Al-harbu, khud'a, khid'a, khad'a. All three you can say. Fatha, dhamma, kasra, on the kha. So, al-harbu, khud'a, khid'a, khad'a. It's deception. So we can't say what it is, but you know, you can use a little bit of your senses and think how to get your child out of there. There are different ways. You see the people, the youth of the cave, they were rebellious, not to Allah. They were rebellious to who? To those oppressors who were running the government of that time. And Allah said, these youth, you're giving yourself, let's give you such a miracle and we'll record it here, 309 years. 309 years. 300 years, they say lunar, add 9, that becomes, so there, 300 years. So when you look at this year, and you realize that there's so many ways for us to attach ourselves with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because in this is our protection, so we can't fear. Because then the fear changes. Instead of fearing Allah, we're fearing what they're going to do to us. When you do this, then you're already calling them to destroy you, because you are not fearing Allah. But when you fear Allah, it removes the fear of any government, any tyrant, ruler, anybody. You can do what you want to us. We don't care. Because we fear Allah. We fear what's going to happen to us in the life that is permanent, forever. So that's where we draw our attention to. You know, this whole chapter, when we speak of Qasida Burda, this whole chapter that we are looking at, it is the chapter on restraining lust and carnal desires. We've just, you could say, still in the silly season, coming out of it. And I share with you this. I share it on another program. I'll share it with you here, because it's applicable. We were in Pietermaritzburg. We stayed one night there. Next door, I was coming out in the morning. We were going to leave after Fajr, Salah. So as I came out, I saw, my eyes just fell, because the wall is quite short. You can see over. And I saw this policeman on Christmas. We say traveling on Christmas is such a pleasure and a leisure. It's enjoying. It's enjoyment, because there's no traffic, no trucks. Everyone is off. It's a leisure. It's a pleasure. So coming out, I saw this police officer, not a Muslim, ready. And if I had a little bit more time, I would have actually engaged with him. I said, it's Christmas. How are you working on Christmas? It's your Christmas. Which even a Muslim says, how can you make me work on Christmas? So how do you expect a non-Muslim who celebrates it to say, but yeah, look at this. His determination to say that if I'm on leave and someone dies, am I not responsible because I took my leave? This is determination. So he's not a Muslim. When you as a believer know what's in store for you if you abide by the laws of Allah. We're not speaking of some country, secular, all of this. We're speaking about true laws which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us. This is what you need to abide by. And this is what you need to stay away from. How do we lose our guard? We allow this nafs. We go into this relaxation mode. Relaxation mode, we just want to enjoy, 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 enjoy. How is it? Our guard has to be on in any time of the year, any second. You are sleeping. Before you slept, you read your du'as to protect you during your sleep. When you wake up, immediately du'a. At every juncture that you are in the state where you are awake, then there's a dua for you to recite. There is something and something. People say, but there's so many duas. We are lost. We don't know where to start. Change your attitude, firstly. If you have that attitude, you're not going to learn the most simplest of duas. Think of yourself as a student till the day you die. If someone is to come and start mentioning titles and all of this for me, what will happen? Exactly what Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith. قَطَعْتَ أُنُقَ أَخِيكَ قَطَعْتَ Unuqa, sahibak, you've cut the neck of your brother. It's your neck has been severed from the body. The head is flying in the air and your body is still here on the earth. You're praising me with all these titles and you've just put me into the state of numbness. It feels so good. And sometimes it's a lie also, but still, people will prefer praises which are attached to lies. It's not reality in you, rather than truthful criticism. People will prefer praises which are based on lies. It's false praises, rather than truthful criticism. Why is this? Because we are concerned of ourselves. See, all falling under this category of the nafs, of the self, and the wayward self. We love praises. You've got to admire the author in this sense. I authored that book. You know, I put together that. You know, I gave that. I. That's the tragedy. I. Let's cancel out I. That's when Islah starts, when you cancel out I. Someone had explained to me just yesterday, Hazrat Mulana Abdul Hamid Sahab Damat Barakatuh, who just not so long ago, perhaps last week, had mentioned in his majlis, not this past, previous one I think it was. He said that, you know, to think, I'm just giving you the synopsis, it's not word for word. There was this king, and he had many servants. One of the female servants, now there's thousands of servants, or however many he gave, but a great number of servants. One of the servants was not so good looking. Teeth was yellow and, you know, nothing attractive at all. Like they say, someone told me, if you go to a certain place, I'm not going to say where and who and what, because it can be offensive. But if you go to this particular place, you don't have to control your gaze. People have to control their gaze. And this was a mufti who told me this. But anyway, this particular servant was just not good looking. What can we say? Non-attractive at all. But she believed that she is the most beloved to the king. She believed, I'm the most beloved to the king, look at me. But all the other servants are thinking, you are not good looking at all. You need to go for some eye test, you know. You need some spectacles or you need some contacts. You know, in English they say, beauty lies in the eyes of the beholder. So, different people define beauty as different. Majnoon, he was totally gone Majnoon over Layla. Totally, he would hold on to the walls. People say, well, what's wrong with you? He would say, you know, our beloved, you know, this is not the walls of anybody. This is the walls of my beloved. That's what he would say for his so-called beloved. Anyway, madness. Madness. This is what hadith says. Hubbuka shay, hubbuka shay, yu'mi wa yusim. Love makes you blind, it makes you dumb, it makes you deaf. So moving forth, this servant, she was totally unattractive. But she believed in her heart that she is beloved. Hazrat Mawlana Abdul Hamid Sahib Damat Barakatuh was drawing this analogy for you and I to ponder why. We are doing dini khidmat. And he said this, you are doing dini khidmat, dini services. You are offering yourself, teaching, you're doing this, reading salah first row with takbir ula, and you feel you've done the greatest service to Allah. He says that this is bi adabi. This is bi adabi. What does bi adabi mean? You don't have respect. You don't have respect. We are like that. Meantime, there are so many other servants who are doing so much of other good works. Yet we are offering our tiny, puny little bit, and we feel that we are offering the greatest service. No. Have ikhlas. I, we were speaking about. It's me. I did this. I did that. I did that. Cancel out ourselves and put our trust in Allah. You will find it's really something remarkable when you sit with the pious. We sat with Mufti Yaqub Valley, Hafidhahullah, with us. A beautiful meeting. Amazing. Where we're sitting, you just see the ocean and the masjid itself. Something amazing to see. Full of glass, and you just see the ocean, the waves flowing. I mentioned to you this morning, and you can just ponder over the verse. You just look out the window, you're reading verse 109, you look out the window. Verse 109 of Surah Al-Kahf, قُلْ لَوْ كَانَ الْبَحْرُ مِدَادًا لِكَلِمَاتِ رَبِّي لَنَفِدَ الْبَحْرُ قَبْلَ أَن تَنْفَدَ كَلِمَاتُ رَبِّي وَلَوْ جِئْنَا بِمِثْلِهِ مَدَدًا. Say, if the entire oceans had to turn into ink, to write or to jot down the words of Allah, and the words of Allah, we said to you, His knowledge, His wisdom, لَنَفِدَ الْبَحْرِ, the ocean would be exhausted. قَبْلَ أَن تَنْفَدَ كَلِمَاتُ رَبِّي, before the words of Allah is exhausted. وَلَوْ جِئْنَا بِمِثْلِهِ مَدَدًا, even though we bring for you, you don't bring, we bring it for you. وَلَوْ جِئْنَا بِمِثْلِهِ, its likes, meaning bring however much, it cannot exhaust Allah's knowledge, Allah's wisdom there. And you just look at this, something phenomenal. So we ask Mufti Yaqub Valley Hafidhahullah for advice. Allah reward him and his family. So he gave us his time, undivided time, full. There's so many lessons learned. But one of the things I share with you now is, he said, see, tawadu. What did Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? Man tawada'a lillah rafa'ahu Allah. Whoever lowers himself for the pleasure of Allah, Allah raises his status. So he was saying, on this topic of humility, keep humility from the beginning to the end. From the beginning to the end. Then he put like a footnote there. Some people, they have humility in the beginning when they had nothing. And then when Allah opens up ease for them, you know, innal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, inna ma'al usri yusra. So with difficulty comes ease. And the test of ease sometimes for your body, for you, it's maybe easier, seems like. But your response is more difficult because you're not responding how you would respond in the time of difficulty. In the time of difficulty, you are helpless. You are, there's nowhere to turn to. No doctor, nobody can help. We have one family member, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him total shifa. He went on a roller coaster, and a nerve split or something burst. And through that hole, it just aggravated this whole thing. And today, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him total shifa. No doctor can help him. He knew the best of doctors. In fact, the family told me when they went there that it even became worse. It became worse. And he himself is a top doctor. So when you're in that state, helplessness, now what do you do? Nowhere to turn to. So it's easier to have ikhlas in the time of difficulty because you know you have, there's no way out than in the time of ease, because in the time of ease, then you feel like you are not in need. But this is what Mufti Yaqub Ali Hafidhahullah was saying, that from the beginning to the end, humility. Anbiya alayhi wasalam taught us this. In every condition, humility. I was saying to you, let's revert back to, and this is our lesson for today, Qasida Burda. Allama Busayri rahimullah, if you were with us in the beginning, you would understand that this, what makes this Qasida special, is he did not want it to go out to the next person. He said it with so much of sincereness and dedication, it was not to go out to the next person. But Allah wanted it to go out, and till today it's preserved. Till today it is preserved. 800 years later, still Qasida Burda. We're still reading it. He didn't want it to go out, and in that state of feebleness, in that state of difficulty, in that state of sickness, he read these couplets. He read these stanzas. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loved so much. That sincereness, and preserved it. Through a dream, you know, someone heard it, and that's what drove that person to. And he was shocked. Allama Abu Sayyid, how do you know about this? I didn't say it to anyone. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told me to come to you. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told me. See. So, when we have the state of need, state of difficulty, then turn your attention to Allah with so much of sincereness. And when Allah grants you shifa, stick with that sincereness. Message for me, message for you. Wa akhiru da'wana anilhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
Alhamdulillahi munshil khalqi min adami.